What does 19th century Japanese comics have to do with Champaign-Urbana? Well, for one resident, it means becoming the first professor and black man in the United States to teach students how to draw manga art. Kofi Bazell Smith is a Master of Fine Arts student at the University of Illinois School of Art and Design. His art career explores these themes after a childhood fascination that ultimately led him to Japan and learning the language. His latest and final exhibit at the Krannert Art Museum opens on Saturday, April 6th. IPM's Kennedy Vincent recently spoke with Bazell Smith about his journey.
Kofi, let's talk about how all of this started. You said you had a childhood fascination with Japanese art. How did that come about?
I saw Dragon Ball Z on TV, the anime, when I was a little kid. I was mesmerized by it. I just started drawing the scenes that I saw on TV, and immediately I was like, this is just what I want to do. I was like, 6 or 7 years old.
What was the inspiration behind choosing manga versus another form of traditional Japanese art?
It just happened to be the first thing that had an impact on me. So when I saw anime, when I was drawing manga, I didn't know it was Japanese. I just saw these cartoons and I was like, I knew it was something different. It wasn't Bugs Bunny. There was something special about it. So all I was doing was copying that. My parents started buying me manga. That was like my first introduction, my first interaction with art.
When did you realize that you wanted to pursue art in higher education?
Yeah, you know, that took a long time. I used to get in trouble in school a lot for drawing manga in class. I never took art classes. I just taught myself how to draw. I never thought to major in art. It just never crossed my mind. I didn't know it was something you could do. You can't learn how to draw manga anywhere in the United States. There's no courses on that. There's no schools that teach how to make manga. So it just never felt like an option for me. So I dropped out. Fast forward to I'm 28 years old. I had already went to Japan. You know, I dropped out of school a bunch of times and I was like, let's do this manga thing. So I just decided to buckle down and major in studio art.
Manga is an art form that has so much history. It's a style that dates back to the 19th century in Japan. How did manga first start?
So you could say it's really sort of started to take off in the early 1900s. This is debated for some reason among Western scholars, but people in Japan are pretty clear. There's a long scroll called Choju Jinbutsu Giga, which roughly translates into picture of frolicking anthropomorphic animals. There's no words. It's just a bunch of rabbits and toads and monkeys just doing stuff. And Choju Giga was made by an artist by the name of Toba in the 12th or 13th century. They're not sure. It's just a long scroll of animals. And that inspired a genre called Toba-e. E means picture, right? Pictures like Toba. Early on in Japan, in like the 17th and 18th centuries, printing presses took off. And it was the first time you see a lot of art prints being sold, like, to the public. And it was a lot of Toba-e. And this is what we historians sort of consider like the earliest form of manga, but at the time it was more like cartoony, sort of like gag drawings. It wasn't like sequential art in a narrative format. After that, in the late 1700s, there was something called kibyoshi, which roughly translates into yellow books. It was collections of 10-page narrative books. So this is the first time you see like word and image together to tell a story. The very first repeating narrative character in world history was in Japan, a character by the name of Manimon during this era. And actually, when comics finally came to Japan, it was by way of an Englishman named Charles Wergman. In 1861, he came to Yokohama and he started the very first comics magazine called Japan Punch. And he introduced word bubbles and the idea of like bracketing comics into panels into Japan. At the time, manga, the term comes from, it means whimsical pictures. So ga means picture, man means whimsical. At the time, that just meant sketches, like funny sketches. It wasn't until the early 20th century, early 1900s, a cartoonist by the name of Rakuten Kitazawa was considered the very first professional Japanese cartoonist and the first mangaka, and that's when manga meant sort of comics.
As we listen to you speak about the history of manga, we also hear you speaking Japanese. Are you self-taught?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. So the first time I learned Japanese, actually, so I dropped out of university, dropped out of U of I, and then my parents were like, well, you got to do something. So they made me go to community college. They were like, you got to go study something at Parkland College. My dad was like, you like that anime stuff. Why don't you study Japanese? Just on a whim, I took the Japanese course. And for some reason, I just started getting straight A's. I was really into it. So I did 2 years of official courses. After that, I started attending Japanese conversation tables on U of I campus. Even though I was a dropout, I would still show up to the tables and studying on YouTube and like memorizing Japanese music, memorize a bunch of songs. And then I would just look up the words after I figured out. I'd be singing, didn't know what it said. And then I would just look up the words and just build my vocabulary that way.
When did you first travel to Japan?
The first time I traveled to Japan was when I was 27. So I was a dropout, dropped out of college like three times. Had a 1.7 GPA. I was working another dead-end job. I used to work at like factories, all kind of stuff. I was working at a temp job, and I was kind of like, all right, I got to do something. So I hired a private language tutor, started saving money for the first time, saved up $5,000, and quit my job and flew to Japan for a month to go study manga, and I joined a boxing gym while I was there. And that was sort of life-changing, and that motivated me to go back to school when I got back home.
How did the first trip to Japan change the trajectory of how you looked at your life, but also how did it impact your art and also the art of boxing?
It was a big deal for me because I had never really traveled that far out of my hometown. And then going all the way to Japan, it sort of showed me what I was capable of. And, you know, I went by myself and, you know, I was around people who didn't speak English. So it really catapulted my language level. So, I trained at a boxing gym there. And I've learned more Japanese at boxing gyms than I have in a classroom. It's not like a book. A book doesn't show you how people really talk. And I also learned a lot about the differences between American and Japanese boxing styles. And I learned that I could incorporate some of the Japanese boxing into my style. So it was a really, really huge shift for me in terms of seeing myself as somebody who's like a cultural ambassador and understanding culture and language and art and martial arts all is like weaving together.
You call yourself a U.S.-Japan bridging scholar, mm-hmm. and also you see yourself as a cultural ambassador. Tell us more about that.
The first time I went to Japan, like I said, I saved up a bunch of money. I came back so broke. I was hurting. I didn't have a job. I just left my job, and I was like, I'll figure it out when I get back. I was gone for a month, came back, couldn't find a job. I was struggling. I was still going to the Japanese conversation tables, but when everybody would go off to eat, I would just be like, nah, I'm not hungry. I'm good. Right? So I was struggling. So I decided, okay, next time I go to Japan, somebody else is going to pay for it. I'm not paying for this. So then I got myself back into community college. Like I said, I had a 1.7 GPA. Trash. I had so many Fs. I had straight A's in Japanese, but I had Fs in like everything else. I would just stop going to class. So I just grinded for like three semesters to pull my GPA up to a 2.0 because I found out in order to get a visa to work in Japan or live in Japan or spend more time in Japan, you need a bachelor's degree in something. So I was like, okay, I got to go back to school. I love that place. I want to go back. As soon as I got to undergrad, I went to the study abroad office and I was like, how do I study abroad? And I figured that out and I applied to study abroad and then I went and I didn't pay for it. So I went back to Japan and one of the scholarships that I got was called the U.S.-Japan Bridging Scholarship. And it's all about creating exchange between the U.S. and Japan through undergrads.
Have you done any community events with the art of manga?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of different things to a professional mangaka in Tokyo when I went back, and I brought him. I created an artist residency for him at University of Illinois, applied for a grant, got a bunch of money, and I brought him here for 2 weeks, brought him to my old middle school. And yeah, he taught a bunch of kids stuff about manga. He doesn't speak English, so I was like the Japanese to English interpreter. And that was the first time last year, around this time last year, I really felt like, okay, I'm actually doing bridging work. I've been thinking about it and talking about it, and I finally like found a way to make that happen. Because not only are they learning manga, they're learning about another culture. They're learning about another language. He brought his daughter here, and I got her temporary enrollment in a middle school, so we got to, you know, have some connections between some kids and stuff. So I was like, okay, that's kind of where that came from and how that's been manifesting.
Now that you're going for your MFA, Master of Fine Arts, mm-hmm. this is the end of your education process.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Man, it's been a long, long process. Many years in and out of school. It's a bit surreal, but I am ready to be done. It's been great, especially these past few years. But yeah, I'm ready to move on.
After you graduate, you are embarking upon the next phase of your manga art career and journey. You are going to be the first professor in the country to teach people how to draw manga.
I'm not the first person who teaches about manga, but I'll be the first professor that teaches students how to draw it, how to make it.
You're taking your appreciation for the art form and you're paying it forward by teaching others. How does that feel, and what is the response you're getting back from students and the community?
Yeah, so I love it. So it's interesting. One thing they don't tell you when you major in art or when you take art classes or when you take art history, you're not taking art history, you're taking Western European art history, right? And when you take art, you're learning Western European art styles. There's a lot of other kinds of art. If you only took these art history courses that they give us, you would think that art started in Italy. And humans have been making art for a very long time. So part of what I'm doing beyond just teaching manga is I'm introducing a non-Western form. I'm challenging what I would call the hegemony of Western ideas in art education. There are more ideas. And the reception has been great. I travel all around the country doing workshops, teaching about manga, doing lectures, talking about the history of the form, doing residencies. I've been to so many universities and schools with little kids. Every single place I go, some student tells me that their teacher didn't like them drawing manga. And part of the issue is it's not a part of the Western canon, right? It's not the normal way how we learn how to draw. We all start with observation, representation, very much a hearkening back to the sort of like French and Italian Renaissance era. But there's other ways to draw. There's other ways to make work.
You've experienced some barriers drawing manga, but have you also experienced barriers as a Black man studying this form of art?
Surprisingly, the barriers that I've experienced being Black have probably been in the U.S. It's the amount of acceptance that I've got in Japan has been incredible. It's interesting. It doesn't mean that racism or like stereotypes and stuff don't exist in Japan, but it's not like the United States. Most of it comes from just not knowing and not having any contact. And it's an extremely homogenous place. And a lot of those barriers and those walls are passed over by speaking the language. People really appreciate when you take the time to learn their language and understand their cultures. I spent a day with one of the most famous mangaka in history, Tetsuya Chiba. He's like 80-something years old. He made the most famous boxing manga of all time, Ashita no Joe. Took pictures with him and everything. People have been really receptive.
So how is it building a community worldwide then?
Man, that's a great question. It's interesting. It's fun. The fact that we have social media, that's been one of the biggest, biggest things for me. For example, the mangaka that I met that I brought here from Japan, I met him on Facebook. So a lot of the things that I've gotten and been able to build community has been through social media.
It's your last show in Champaign.
Yeah.
What can guests look forward to when they visit your exhibit? Mm-hmm. And how does it feel to have your last show be here?
It feels great. So I grew up in Champaign-Urbana, and I remember being a kid, my parents dragging me out to the art museum, and I hated it because I didn't get it. And now I have a show in the museum, and I finally appreciate it. And the place I used to get dragged to going, and I didn't understand the art. But I also like it because I'm putting comics in there. Now I'm putting manga in there, a form that usually doesn't belong in fine arts spaces, in academic spaces. So it feels really good to be able to be myself in the museum finally. What people can expect, you've never seen a comics or manga exhibition like this. It's going to be dope.
You have done so much. What is next for you? And also, I'm sure listeners are wondering, why are you still here in Illinois, mm-hmm. and why are you not in Japan yet?
Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm still in Illinois is because I'm still in school. So I graduate in May, a few weeks ago, accepted a position at Rochester Institute of Technology where I'm going to be teaching manga and making manga, and I'm going to be running a study abroad program where I'm going to take RIT students with me to Japan every summer.
Kofi, thank you so much for joining me, and congratulations on all of your work.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Kofi Bazell-Smith is an MFA student at the University of Illinois School of Art and Design. His exhibit is running from April 6th to April 20th at Krannert Art Center. For more information, go to will.illinois.edu.